Hey, my name's Zenu, and you're listening to Anti-Moon Boy News. We got a great episode for you guys today. We're going to be talking about the age verification law controversy and how it is now coming to Linux. So we're going to be talking about that, reactions, what to expect, etc. So a lot to talk about there. We're also going to be talking about AI slop and how it is really impacting the information we're getting about this ongoing conflict in the Middle East. And full chain membership proofs, are they being delayed? It does look that way. In fact, we might not get full chain membership proofs until quarter four. So we're going to be talking about all that today. Please, if you are a fan of the show, hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate that. I'm trying to hit 2,000 by the end of the year. And also, throw out a like for me, you know, I like to collect likes. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate that. And of course, at the end of the show, we will be going over super chats. We've got a couple this week. So xmrchat.com/Zenu if you'd like to send a super chat. This is actually my second episode I'm putting out within the past several days. I'm playing a little catch up, but I want to consistently hit every Monday having a podcast. I think Monday is a good podcast day. Start the week off with some Anti-Moon Boy to get over the fact that you just had to sit in a cubicle for 8 hours hating yourself. Hopefully I can be some sort of remedy for that. Alright, so yeah, let's talk about age verification. What's going on? Well, to kind of put it simply, this is a boiling frog, okay? It is a slow crawl towards having digital ID. I think everyone kind of knows this, but if you really kind of just take a second and think, okay, how are things going to be like 20 years in the future? It's going to be a lot more regulated. And we've had a good run. You know, the internet, you know, back when I was young, it was the Wild West. It was awesome. But as time has passed, it has become, you know, really just several websites that you use, you know, maybe a couple social media websites, maybe an image board, you know, a couple websites that you use, and it's very sterile, and it's not like the old days. You know, you use a search engine, you're kind of getting the same couple websites. It's just useless, right? But that progression has also led to more and more regulations, specifically attacking anonymity. And this is now making its way towards operating systems and app stores. And simply put, what government wants is for everything to have your age attached to it and eventually your ID attached to it. And that this will then determine, you know, different things that you will be allowed to view, essentially. And so this controversy has really taken a new turn based on this bill that was introduced in California. The bill, Assembly Bill number 1043, it was approved by Governor Newsom on October 13th, 2025. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the introduction here. So we're going to read directly from the source. Then we're going to read a news article on this. And then we're going to break this down further. So I want to first go to the source. And oh, yeah, real quick. So the way America works, for those who are not Freedom Chads, basically you have states and then you have the entire federal government that controls kind of everything. But the states have their own unique laws. And so in this case, this assembly bill only impacts California, which is the most populated state in the United States. So it's a very large state. So this isn't like a nothing burger. It's not like this is like Delaware. Who cares about Delaware, right? No, this is about California. It's a large state. A lot of people live there. I have family that lives there, you know. And so what this bill does is it impacts people who are using operating systems. Okay, so let's read it. Existing law generally provides protections for minors on the internet, including the California Age Appropriate Design Code Act that, among other things, requires a business that provides an online service, product, or feature likely to be assessed by children to do certain things, including estimate the age of child users with a reasonable level of certainty appropriate to the risks that arise from the data management practices of the business, or apply the privacy and data protections afforded to children to all consumers, and prohibits an online service, product, or feature from, among other things, using dark patterns to lead or encourage children to provide personal information beyond what is reasonably expected to provide the online service, product, or feature, or to forego privacy protections. This bill, beginning January 1st, 2027, would require, among other things related to age verification with respect to software applications, an operating system provider, as defined, to provide an accessible interface at account setup that requires an account holder, as defined, to indicate the birth date, age, or both of the user of that device for the purpose of providing a signal regarding the user's age bracket to applications available in a covered application store, and to provide a developer, as defined, who has requested a signal with respect to a particular user with a digital signal via a reasonably consistent real-time application programming interface, API, regarding whether a user is in any of several age brackets as prescribed. The bill would require a developer to request a signal with respect to a particular user from an operating system provider or covered application store when the application is downloaded and launched. The bill would prohibit an operating system provider or a covered application store from using data collected from a third party in an anti-competitive manner as specified. This bill would punish non-compliance with a civil penalty to be enforced by the Attorney General as prescribed. This bill would declare its provisions to be severable. Okay, now there's a lot of definitions here, and we're not going to read this entire bill. But the gist here is that you have to, or if you're a company that creates an operating system, you are now compelled to require the account holder to give their age. And depending on the age they give, that person will be put into an age bracket. So the age brackets that they have is whether a user is under 13 years of age, whether the user is at least 13 years of age and under 16 years, whether the user is at least 16 years of age and under 18 years of age, or whether the user is at least 18 years of age. Now, throughout the history of the internet, we've seen like age verification stuff, but it's been like, what's your birthday? And I can speak for probably all of you guys where I just hit the year button, scroll down and click it and just hit next. Like, I'm not going to put my birthday on everything. You know what I mean? It's useless. It's theater. It's wear the mask, right? However, you know, it's not necessarily like a bad thing in that, like, I don't really think kids should be looking at pornography, right? So there's like reasonable like restrictions that can be put up where like we don't want kids accessing certain things. I think parental controls on a computer is great. Like, if you have kids, like, I don't want them looking at certain things. You know what I mean? So there's like reasonable things that can be used with something like this. But obviously, from my perspective, this is just the slow crawl towards digital identity, because this is not optional. This is not, you know, opt in, right? It is, if you don't do this, we're going to fine you. And the fines are pretty severe. It's about $7,500, or hold on. Let's see here. A person that violates this title shall be subject to an injunction and liable for a civil penalty of not more than $2,500 per affected child for each negligent violation, or not more than $7,500 per affected child for each intentional violation, which shall be assessed and recovered only in a civil action brought in the name of the people of the state of California by the Attorney General. And then an operating system provider or covered application store that makes a good faith effort to comply with this title. And I don't know what good faith effort means. That's vague, but whatever. going on, taking into consideration available technology and any reasonable technical limitations or outages, shall not be liable for an erroneous signal indicating a user's age range or any conduct by a developer that receives a signal indicating a user's age range. So it's all vague, which is typical, right? They're kind of throwing a blanket out, and they're trying to get these different companies to comply. And again, this is like a boiling frog where things seem normal now, but like as things progress, things are going to get worse and worse, and they're going to keep taking an inch. Or if we give them an inch, I should say, they're going to take a mile, right? And so this is one of those things where we cannot comply. And like, if an operating system that you use is now endorsing something like this, you really need to consider moving to a different operating system, because even though these are things that can be easily patched over, it's still like a matter of principle here. Because I've been seeing that a lot where, you know, a lot of people are saying like, this is open source, we can just hack it. Yes, that's true, we can. And so it's kind of a nothing burger in that regard, but like this law, it needs to be challenged, right? Like we need to strike it down. This is an issue with amendments, the First and Fourth Amendment. And it's completely unacceptable that this is happening. There's a tweet I saw that I'm paraphrasing that said something like that. And I completely agree where it's kind of like, why? Yes, like we can just not comply, but we also need to push back on something like this because this is egregious. So I have an article here. This is from Tom's Hardware. And it's kind of going to be repeating more of the same, but this summarizes the entire bill. California's Digital Age Research Act, AB 1043, signed by Gavin Newsom in October 2025, requires every operating system provider in California to collect age information from users at account setup and transmit that data to app developers via a real-time API, with the law taking effect on January 1st, 2027. So yeah, it's taking place like 9 months from now, 9 to 10 months from now. This is going to actually be a law in California. So this is going to happen. So it's going to be interesting to see what the fallout is with the various open source communities and the developers for these operating systems. Moving forward, the law's broad definition of an operating system provider: anyone who develops, licenses, or controls the operating system software on a computer, mobile device, or any other general-purpose computing device, pulls in not just Windows, macOS, Android, and iOS, but Linux distributions and Valve Steam OS. According to AB 1043, operating system providers must maintain a reasonably consistent real-time application programming interface that categorizes users into four age brackets, under 13, 13 to 16, 16 to 18, and 18 or older, and hand that signal to any developer who requests it when their app is downloaded or launched. Developers who receive the signal are deemed to have actual knowledge of their user's age range under the law, which shifts legal liability for age-appropriate content decisions onto them. Penalties for noncompliance run up to $2,500 per affected child for negligent violations and $7,500 for intentional ones. The law does not require photo ID uploads or facial recognition with users, instead simply self-reporting their age, setting AB 1043 apart from similar laws passed in Texas and Utah that require commercially reasonable verification methods, such as the government-issued ID checks. Assemblymember Buffy Wicks, who authored the bill, said this avoids constitutional concerns by focusing strictly on age assurance, not content moderation. The bill passed both chambers unanimously, 76-0 in the Assembly and 38-0 in the Senate. So, real quick here. So, yes, this doesn't require like uploading like your actual ID. And so some people are saying this is a nothing burger because of that, but I think the more astute individual would argue that this is just a slippery slope and that in the future we will be required to have some sort of ID verification, you know, or photo ID uploads. We're kind of heading in that direction. And of course, with AI becoming more and more powerful, that's not even going to work, right? We're going to have some sort of cryptographically secure verification system. That's kind of where we're trending, and that will be tied in with digital ID. All right. Two more paragraphs here. Despite signing it, Newsom issued a statement urging the legislator to amend the law before its effective date, citing concerns about streaming services and game developers about complexities such as multi-user accounts shared by a family member and user profiles utilized among multiple devices. Whether amendments will materialize before January 2027 remains to be seen. Enforcement against Linux distributions, however, is likely to be problematic. Distros like Arch, Ubuntu, Debian, and Gentoo have no centralized account infrastructure, with users downloading ISOs from mirrors worldwide and can modify source code freely. These small distros lack legal teams or resources to implement the required API, so a more realistic outcome for non-compliant distros is a disclaimer that the software is not intended to use in California. So this is a loophole that I've seen where some of these distributions will just say, hey, we're not licensed to be of use in California. And then someone from California can just download it anyway. And so this kind of wipes their hands clean of being liable for this. This is probably what's going to happen, I think. I think a lot of these distributions will kind of go in that direction. But we'll have to wait and see. Now, it gets even more interesting because, there's a lot of different laws going around, a lot of different, around the United States. So like, as I mentioned, like Texas is another state, and Utah. And so a lot of different states are introducing these laws. And because of that, it's chaos, right? Because there's all these different interpretations and stuff. Again, this is just leading towards eventually a centralized digital ID to kind of normalize, quote unquote, everything. But who's lobbying a lot of these? And there's actually a law that is being lobbied called the App Store Accountability Act. And it turns out there's this person on Reddit who posted a massive open source research project he's been working on, tracking like who's been like lobbying for this. And it turns out it's been Meta, the company that owns Facebook and Instagram from the old Zuckerberg. And so anyway, they put out this whole report, and I'm going to read kind of the opening investigation at a glance here. It says, an open source intelligence investigation into how Meta platforms built a multi-channel influence operation to pass age verification laws that shift regulatory burden from social media platforms onto Apple and Google app stores. So let me pause right there. Basically what they're doing is they're lobbying for this bill to pass. And their argument is like, saying that Facebook or Instagram, those companies should not be liable. Instead, the App Store is who should be liable for this verification, this age verification, not Facebook. So that's why they're so heavily lobbying for this, because they don't want to deal with this. So they're actively lobbying. It's not that they actually, care about age verification because they don't want to do it. They want other people to do it, right? So it says the investigation at a glance, Meta spent a record $26.3 million on federal lobbying in 2025, deployed 86 lobbyists across 45 states, and covertly funded a grassroots child safety group called the Digital Childhood Alliance to advocate for the App Store Accountability Act. The App Store Accountability Act requires app stores to verify user ages before downloads, but imposes no requirements on social media platforms. If it becomes law, Apple and Google absorb the compliance cost while Meta's apps face zero new mandates. How convenient. Yeah, so anyway, they're lobbying the hell out of them. You could take a look at that article. This guy did a lot of different work. I'll have it in the description if you want to take a look at that. But I mean, again, like, they're looking at this. All these companies are aware of these age verification things going on. They're all aware of it, and they're all trying to figure out how they can spend the least amount of money, one, and two, how they can use this to spy on people. So it's like there's these new laws coming in, and they're just evil. They're just evil, and they're just looking at this like, how can we be evil? And that's what they're doing. It's nothing new, really. They're not trying to fight back. They're trying to use this for bad. In Facebook's case, they're trying to pass on this these verification laws to other people while they're openly spying on people. And yeah, Meta's a company to talk, right? I mean, all the stuff that has been, you know, put on Facebook or Instagram from children, like horrible stuff, right? And they have all this data, right? So they're one to talk about child safety when they've been introducing children to like terrible things through their own application. Last but not least, though, I want to plug a site that I found called agelesslinux.org. You're definitely going to want to check this site out. Basically, it's a watchdog for all this age verification stuff going on and what's going on with Linux. So I talked about Linux last week, how you guys got to download Linux, and I stand by that. Make the switch to Linux if you haven't yet, okay? But when it comes to me, for example, I use Arch. I've been a huge supporter of it. I shill it all the time. But like, there's also a lot of other great distributions that I would recommend to people. You know, for newbies, for example, I like to recommend Kubuntu. Essentially, it's Ubuntu with the KDE desktop environment. Big supporter of that as well, because I like KDE, and I think Ubuntu is just really easy to use. I also recommend, you know, the different flavors of Arch, so like Manjaro. CacheOS is huge right now. It's probably like the third most used distro at the moment. It's like, it's what everyone's talking about lately. I do actually want to try it out myself on my laptop. But like, you also have like Fedora and you know, all these different really great projects. You kind of can't go wrong, to be honest. Some of them are better than others, but I digress. These age verification laws, though, how they're going to impact these different distributions is up in the air. And so what's really cool about this website is it has a page where it says it's the distro compliance tracker. And it says how distros are responding to this, to these mandates. So it says here, we track how Linux distributions are responding to age verification mandates, and we provide tools to undo whatever they implement, which they do provide this tool where it essentially cancels out any sort of age verification. It's pretty cool. If a distribution adds an age collection prompt, we will publish a script that removes it. If it ships a dbus age verification daemon, we will publish a package that replaces it with silence. How cool is that? I mean, and that's the thing. So again, we're going to fight back. So this is not the end of the world. It's more so like we're disappointed, right? We're like the fact that we even have to have this discussion where this is a violation of our amendment, of our rights granted by the First and Fourth Amendments. It's kind of ridiculous, right? So anyways, in this box here, they have the different distributions and the status of what, how they're reacting. So I'm going to actually read through these. It's kind of interesting. So Ubuntu/Canonical, they published a clarification on March 4th, 2026, reviewing internally with legal counsel, but no concrete plans on how or whether Ubuntu will change. So they're watching it right now. Debian. Active discussion on Debian-legal and Debian developer mailing lists. Aaron Rainbolt from Kix Secure and Hunix proposed org.freedesktop.ageverification1 dbus interface. Community member Floofy Wolf responded with a satirical systemd-censored counterproposal. No official project position yet. So they're discussing it. Fedora/Red Hat. CC'd on the freedesktop.org cross-distro thread. No official response. Fedora Legalist is aware of the legislation, so they are silent on it. Arch Linux, no official response. Arch has no account setup, no installer-driven user creation workflow, and no centralized app store. The law's requirements have no obvious attachment point. So that's the thing. Like, is this going to impact Arch? I don't know. These laws are vague. You can talk to legal counsel and they're going to tell you the same thing. I don't know, right? So again, Kix Secure/Hunix, they're complying, which is a big blow to Hunix, right? Hunix is kind of a big name within privacy. I'm not sure why someone representing them would say something like that. Not really sure, but that's obviously not good. I've never used Hoonix, disclaimer, but yeah, I'm not really understanding that. Then Midnight BSD, they modified its license to exclude California residents from desktop use effective January 1st, 2027. They're the first project to respond with a geographic restriction. I do think a lot of other projects are going to do this. It's kind of the easiest way to kind of sweep this under the rug. But hey, we'll wait and see. Maybe a lot of these, it seems like a lot of these different distributions are just not responding and they're just staying silent. Then we have SteamOS/Valve. No public response. Steam already has age-gated content and account age fields. SteamOS on the Steam Deck is likely the highest profile consumer Linux device affected, which it probably is for all the people who are using Steam Deck. So, yeah, this website, Ageless Linux, I definitely will have this bookmarked. I'm going to be monitoring this throughout the year as we kind of, we monitor all of this stuff that's going on with these age verification laws. There's also, by the way, separate tabs where they have a tab just on state laws. So you can go by state and look at the different states, which I think is pretty cool. So we covered California, right? Here's Texas. Texas requires app stores to verify age using commercially reasonable methods, potentially including government ID, requires parental consent for minors. Signed May 27, 2025, blocked by federal preliminary injunction December 23rd, 2025. CCIA lawsuit alleges First Amendment violation. So this is in Texas. They wanted to have an App Store Accountability Act where you would have to have, probably give it a government ID to prove your age. It's being blocked for First Amendment violation based. So again, this is something that is actively ongoing right now. It's actively being fought in the courts. In Utah, requires commercially reasonable age verification by app stores, private right of action. Parents and minors can sue for $1,000 per violation. The only state where individuals, not just the attorney general, can enforce. Rolling effective dates through 2026. This is law. If you are using Linux in this, or this doesn't impact operating systems, but this is impacting app stores. So this wouldn't affect you if you're using Linux, but again, this is slow creep. If you are using app stores, this would impact you. And then Louisiana is the fourth state with law effective July 1st, 2026. And by the way, that Utah law is effective May 6th, 2026. So it's not effective yet, but it will be on May 6th. On July 1st, 2026 for Louisiana, it's similar to the Texas-Utah model, App Store-focused, commercially reasonable verification. Requires developers to associate minor accounts with parental accounts. Attorney General enforcement only, no private right of action. Now, there are also states working on becoming noncompliant. Colorado, a near-identical copy of California's AB1043. Operating system level age collection, real-time API, self-declaration, passed Senate 28-7 on March 3rd, 2026, head to the House, effective January 1st, 2028, if passed, can be sent to voters via referendum petition. And lastly, federal versions of the state app store accountability model would preempt state laws if passed, uses commercially reasonable verification language. Early stage, it's been introduced, but it hasn't been advanced. So this would obviously be a big deal if it passes the federal government, because it would impact every state regardless. So lots of information here I kind of just threw at you. Check out that website, agelesslinux.org. I'll have a link if you want to check that out. They also have a tab on lobbyism, and they have all these different people who have been lobbying in the different companies like Microsoft and Apple, OpenAI. Oh man, we could do a whole another 30 minutes on this, but I think I've spoken enough about all of this information. So anyways, that is the age verification. Not looking good, but we're going to fight back. All right, well now it's time for some paid programming, and we're going to start things off talking about WebWipe. Now, I met the web wipe guys down at Monero Topia last month, and they're some pretty cool dudes, including Frank, who I'm pretty good friends with. These guys, they specialize in digital web scrubbing. So if you have, your email, your embarrassing email when you were in middle school, they'll find it. Okay, they're going to find it and they're going to erase it. If you're concerned about leaving all these artifacts around, lying around for the bad guys to, snoop in and get all this information on you, they'll do a good job of scrubbing all that, and their consultation services are phenomenal. Now, so if you want to get some doxing information off the web, you want to, lock down your digital or physical identity, they'll do that for you. And if you've lost access to your wallet, your cryptocurrency wallet, they can help you recover funds. They do a lot of stolen fund recovery. So they accept Monero with an aggressive referral program. Visit webwipe.io or shoot them an email at hello@webwipe.io for security assessment. And they're also on X at webwipemedown to see where they'll be hosting their next privacy meetups. And our second sponsor today is xmrhub.org, the Monero Hub, the gateway to the Monero ecosystem. It's your portal to the world's most private digital cash. And I like their logo, by the way. It's a very nice looking logo. I think they did a good job on that. What to do on Monero Hub? What can't you do? They got wallets, exchanges, a whole breakdown of how to use Monero, and they have a bunch of stuff rolling out soon. For example, they plan to roll out accounts in the next update, which will be cross-platform to XMR Map, which is also going to be undergoing a massive update. They're going to be adding a sticker map, for example. You can toggle that. It switches to a in-real-life map to, you can take a picture of a Monero sticker and upload it, and it'll be like that Pokemon Go game. Maybe they'll have a scavenger hunt to break that in. I don't know. I'm just riffing here, but I think that's a pretty cool idea. I like that. They also have, with their cross-platform account, casino games at xmr.games in a prediction market, alongside having a Steam-like profile on Hub where you can see the sticker placements and wagered amounts from the games, and soon listings for an eBay competitor. Oh, man, that's a lot of things. Well, there you go. xmrhub.org. Check that out. It's still in its early stages, but they got a lot of great ideas coming. All right, and that is that. If you would like to sponsor Anti-Moonboy, shoot me a message. I have an email. Have you ever heard of email? Yeah, well, I have one. At xeno@antimoonboy.com. You can also DM me on Twitter. Although I will say with Twitter, I've been having people get filtered, and they'll get sent to spam now. Even I'll be wondering why they haven't messaged me, and then I'll look into the spam folder and the Twitter DMs. Then I'll see someone. I'm like, what the heck? Why are you there? So I don't know what's going on with that. So probably better to email me. I'm pretty responsive on there. What's up next? We are going to be talking about AI slop. Ugh. Yeah, I mean, it's been sloppy out there, guys. It's been sloppy. And we have this whole conflict going on right now in the Middle East. That's pretty bad. I talked about it last week. I went on a rambling geopolitical rant. If you're interested in that sort of thing, you can check that out. It actually went over pretty well. I was kind of, when I recorded that, I was like, this might be a little too much, but people liked it. So that was cool. But I got to say one thing that's, a couple months ago, I was talking about AI and how it's going to be a problem. And I still feel that way. And it's a month-to-month thing. It's just getting more and more realistic. And it's just ugh, this is getting kind of weird. But I remember somebody mentioned this to me. I forget who, but they said that AI, people are just going to be retweeting fake stuff, thinking that they're tweeting out real things. Or maybe not on Twitter, but, on any social media platform. And that is exactly what is happening right now. It's actually very difficult to follow this war going on between the United States and Israel and Iran, because you go on, for example, Twitter, and like half the videos are fake. In the past, it was like the videos would be old, or like the videos would be from, you know, a different war or something. But now people are just making shit up. And it's actually kind of like, it's still relatively easy to figure out if something is fake or not. The giveaway is like the length of the clip. That's a pretty easy giveaway. So if it's like 5 seconds, or if it's like 11 seconds, then you know it's probably AI, right? Another thing is audio. AI audio is still not really there. It's just kind of, you can tell. I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like, it has this like kind of roboticness to it. I don't know how to describe it. Visually, though, I mean, man, it's basically there. The audio still needs to catch up. But visually, I mean, there was like videos of like, you know, explosions raining down on Tel Aviv. And some of them looked really real, but like, I'm like kind of, you know, scrunching my eyes, staring at this, and I'm like, oh, that's fake, you know? And anyways, this is concerning to me though, because like, we're kind of seeing a preview of the future here, where like any type of like, you know, future conflict that we're going to have, we're going to have to deal with this AI shit. People kind of spamming their fake videos, and these videos are only going to get more and more realistic, guys. Like, I stress this a lot, where there's this belief of like, oh, I can still tell. It's like, yeah, I know you can, but we're going to reach a point where it's not going to seem like this is all AI anymore. And that's the scary part, where it's like, how can you tell the difference between this hyper realistic AI stuff and real stuff? And you can't really. Because all of these like little artifacts people are digging around for, they're going to become less and less obvious over time. Eventually, they're just not going to exist anymore. These artifacts are just, they're going to be completely ran out, and we will reach a point where you just can't tell, and that's what's scary. Now, part of this whole AI slop stuff going on, of course, has been the supposed death of Netanyahu, because I'll be honest, like when I saw that Netanyahu video with him giving the press conference, it felt weird. Like I kind of am in agreement, but for me, what was weirder was the fact that he wasn't making any public appearances. He hasn't really been tweeting out as much. That to me was a lot weirder than the video, but anyways, I'm kind of rambling here, but what I'm trying to get at here is that this AI stuff is a problem, and the reason it's a problem is that video evidence no longer means anything, because it can be faked, and this is going to have an impact too on like court cases, for example. If you could just forge a video of somebody, how will you be able to prove it's not real? You know what I mean? Like, let's say you're accusing somebody of breaking and entering into your home. Well, if you have really advanced AI, you can just fake that. And you can, like, plant evidence and stuff. And then the other person's going to have an alibi. Or else, if there's evidence that they're planting and they have video evidence, quote-unquote, it's AI. You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to prove against that? We may reach a point where video evidence is no longer like accepted or something, but you know, I don't know. Like it's a very bizarre thing to think about, but I think we're heading in that direction. So anyway, it's a misinformation war ongoing right now with the Middle East. There's all these fake videos, and it's a bit of a black pill because it's only going to get worse. And I don't really have an answer. All right, next up, we have a story here about Meta, again, and how they are removing end-to-end encryption on Instagram. This is from their help page. It says, end-to-end encryption messaging on Instagram will no longer be supported after May 8th, 2026. If you have chats that are impacted by this change, you will see instructions on how you can download any media or messages you may want to keep. If you're on an older version of Instagram, you may also need to update the app before you can download your affected chats. End-to-end encrypted messages and calls ensure only you and the people you're communicating with can see or listen to what is sent, and no one else, not even Meta, can do so. Keep in mind, for reporting and optional features, you or someone in the chat may still choose to share messages with Meta. Okay. Yeah, I mean, no one's downloading Instagram to send end-to-end encryption, okay? Like, even in that last sentence, like, well, it's for reporting optional features, you or someone in the chat may still choose to share messages. Like, then it's not end-to-end encrypted. Like, the fuck is this? This doesn't really impact anybody. Like, if you're using Instagram to send messages that are encrypted, you're stupid. Don't do that. Sorry, someone has to tell you, but you're being dumb. Don't do that. In fact, you should just not use Instagram. They're monitoring everything you're doing on Instagram is just tracked. If you're looking at a page for 10 seconds, they're logging that. You know what I mean? It's just don't use Instagram for any, if you're concerned about OPSEC and stuff. But it is interesting though that they're ending it. Like I don't on Twitter, Tuxedo, he said something along the lines of, this is the first time someone's introduced end-to-end encryption to get rid of it later on. And yeah, I kind of agree with that. Like, it's kind of weird that this happened. I mean, again, I don't think people are downloading Instagram to use their end-to-end encryption, but still, it's kind of like, why would you get rid of it? Like, what's the point? I don't know. A little sus. I'll be honest with you, it's a little sus. I don't know. Doesn't really make much sense. Speaking of not making sense, this is a beauty, this one. Tinder sucks ass, okay? Don't use Tinder. But anyways, if you are using Tinder, it's been reported that their new AI wants to see your camera roll to give you better matches. Now, I'm going to pause right there. If you are using Tinder, first off, if you're a male, it's a humiliation ritual. You really shouldn't be using Tinder. But if you actually are going through with this and giving Tinder your camera roll, all your pictures and shit, like, what are you doing, dude? Ugh. This is what, I'm going to read an article here. This is from Dexerto? I've never heard of this site. So the article is probably going to suck. When it comes to the dating scene, some people have started dating AI companions as well. Okay, let's get to the Tinder thing. The new chemistry feature on Tinder, announced by Tinder on March 12th, alongside a host of other changes to the dating app. Tinder is using AI to better understand what you're into, turn that into smarter, more personalized recommendations. Over time, elements of chemistry will expand beyond a single feature to make the whole Tinder experience more intentional and personal. Chemistry includes an opt-in feature called Camera Roll Scan, which is exactly how it sounds, an opt-in feature incubated within Chemistry that currently helps you discover photo insights based on patterns in your camera roll, things like your interests, lifestyle, personality themes. It's designed to help you show more of who you are beyond just a few profile photos. With this being an opt-in feature, it's something that not everyone will take up. Some will value their privacy over potential matches. Okay, that article sucked ass. I'm sorry about that. it doesn't really matter, though. All you need to know is, they have this AI, and they're like, oh, well, here's the thing. If you give us all your pictures, we're going to have a better profile experience. I mean, like, do people believe this shit? I'll tell you right now, if I was dating, like, a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 knockout, and she told me that she used this AI tool, Chemistry, I'd probably just walk out on the date. I'd be like, oh, I gotta use the bathroom. I just dip. That's just creepy. That is just fucking weird. What's worse is this is gonna become normal soon. Like, I think this is gonna become normalized. I think you're going to have more and more apps just like say, hey, give us access to this. Our AI will help you out. It's an AI, you know? Who cares? Yeah, I might have to make some videos on AI OPSEC stuff because this is just getting worse and worse. And I don't think people realize how much is being logged. All right, well, we now have a couple of Monero stories to get to, and then super chats. It's been a pretty good episode, I think. I think we've done a pretty good job so far. Of course, I'm in the studio with Robot and Bella. What do you think, Bella? How do you think I did?
Beep boop. Today's episode has been extremely informative and funny, as always. You are so smart and handsome, Zeno. Beep boop.
Oh, thank you. And I'm sure the audience can tell. She's mostly back to normal now. I still need to get rid of the beeps and the boops.
Beep boop. But how else will you know when the beginning and the end of the sentence occurs, beep boop?
Well, you kind of just start talking and then you stop talking.
Beep boop. I do not compute, beep boop.
Yeah, I know you don't, but that's because you're an idiot who only cares about kitchen appliances. I don't know why I'm arguing with you, because all you do is stare at my refrigerator all day. Aren't you making the vacuum cleaner jealous?
Beep boop. The vacuum cleaner is the love of my life, beep boop.
All right. Well, let's get to some Monero news. Let's change the subject here. We got two stories here. The first one, the Monero run 2026. The public audit of XMR reserves. It's happening April 18th. Basically, a bunch of people are going to buy Monero and try to crash some exchanges. They've done this in the past, and they've been pretty successful. So if you want to contribute for the cause, get some dry powder on the side, get some liquidity on the side, and on April 18th, throw some money at Monero, and you can contribute. Because the thing is, a lot of these exchanges, they don't actually hold Monero. they're lying. It's all fractional reserve lending. And what's probably going to happen is these exchanges will have some sort of technical issue, and then we won't be able to withdraw, and we can kind of point to it, and nothing will change. But, hey, it's a very good cause to kind of make some awareness of this issue. And lastly, but not least, this is a big story. The Monero full chain membership proofs. When's it going to happen? And I think I could speak for a lot of people listening to my program where it's kind of frustrating. We want full chain membership proofs. It's taken forever. We were hoping we would have it quarter one. Man, that's not happening. Quarter two is probably not happening as well now. So fingers crossed, quarter three or quarter four. Don't want this in 2027, but there is a delay. So what's the delay for? Well, there are four more audits that are going to be taking place. One audit 1A is on crypto, 1B is on integrated crypto, audit 2 is on curve tree building, and audit 3 is on consensus integration. And so at a Monero Research Lab meeting this past Wednesday, Jay Berman said, had some discussion with Co about integration audit plans. Co proposed combining phases 1 and 2 together since phase 1 is a fairly small amount of work. I'm currently preparing the PRs for phase 2 right now, and we'll begin communications with audit firms today. Also, we are nearly ready for beta, with exception for remaining tasks on full chain membership proofs library. Aiming to have a fleshed out proposal to raise funds for audits by next week's meeting. So, progress is being made. It's not like these guys aren't working, but I don't think quarter two is going to happen, guys. I'll be honest with you. It does not look good. It's looking like quarter three to quarter four, which sucks. I won't lie. I wish we didn't have to deal with this, but we also don't want to ship something that we're not comfortable with. And to be honest, that is like a very good counter argument to like trying to rush these things, right? You know, we don't want to just throw something out there and get wrecked. We want something that works and works off the cuff. And it does suck though, because we have to deal with ring signatures for the next, you know, 6 months or so. And if you've been, you know, studying my material, you will know that ring signatures are just not good. Like, we need to move on, you know, and full chain membership proofs is that. The good news though is that we have adoption clamped down. People love Monero and use it, unlike pretty much every other project out there that purports itself as digital cash. So we're doing great in that regard. But it does suck, though, because, you know, we have to keep waiting for this massive upgrade. And once this does happen, I mean, there's really no debate anymore of what, you know, tool you should use. I mean, Monero is going to have extremely strong privacy built into the base layer. It's just not even a contest anymore. As it is, it already isn't really a contest because Monero is being used and all these other projects are just not used. They're just hobby projects. Or in the case of Zcash, they're this corporate, you know, sterile coin that people just buy and hold like Bitcoin. Anyways, that is the news. Let's get to the super chats. XMRChat.com/Xenu. If you'd like to participate. We got, let's see here, two different super chats. Awesome. Which is pretty cool because I only finished my last episode like 4 days ago. So we already got two more. Awesome. First one is from Concerned Anon, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you very much. And they say, hey, you got the story about the missing community funds under the control of Fluffy Pony that was posted on Reddit 2 weeks ago. Completely wrong. Please read the GitHub issue again. It was not about the CCS hack. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out, Concerned Anon. I did. Here's, in my defense, okay, here's the thing. I go on Reddit. I put the hazmat suit on. Okay, I put the hazmat suit on. I want to get in and out as quickly as possible. And I just saw Fluffy Pony missing funds. And I assumed it was talking about the CCS one because that is like a huge deal. That was a big deal. We know the funds were stolen. It was a controversy at the time. It was something that from really the day one we were following. And it's still something we haven't really figured out. And it was a lot of money. What you're talking about, and I guess this is what the original post was talking about, was not the CCS hack, as you said, but it was about the, what's it called? The FFS funds, which were donated a long freaking time ago. This system existed before CCS. I never even used this one. Or maybe I did, actually. This is a long time, but this is like when I first got involved with Monero. Monero was much lower in value at the time, first off. So like comparing this to the CCS hack, it's really not even close to as big of a deal. I'll be honest with you. Furthermore, there have been like multiple Monero CCS projects that have been funded that did not come anywhere close to what was given to them in terms of value. Project Coral Reef is the most infamous of these, which was a complete failure. And I mean, they raised a ton of money for that one, which, yeah, was never used. And yeah, that wasn't good. And there's been other CCS proposals as well that have just sucked and have not. Yeah. And I know this personally too, because like I did multiple projects for the CCS. I made basically these informative videos, animated videos about, for example, Tail Emission, RandomX, FCMPs +++, and Nodes was the fourth one. These videos were awesome. I worked my butt off on writing them and directing them and stuff. But like the process of getting that approved now is like pain in the ass, because like there's so much PTSD from these failed projects in the past. So you now have these guys who are just like they're very like, I want to say antagonistic, but they're trying to sniff out BS. And I love these guys too, so I don't want you to think that I'm like hating on them, but like they're like actively like trying to sniff out scams. So like I just stopped going to those meetings because I was like, screw this. Like, I know my work is good. I'll let the guy I'm collaborating with deal with that because I don't feel like arguing with them. So anyways, things have gotten a lot better with that regard in terms of the sniffing out the BS and stuff. Anyways, I'm kind of off topic here, but back on what you were talking about. Yeah, this was like the funds that were gathered up are just like much lower than the CCS. So like I think this is like a much, much lower of a concern, because like I don't know how much the funds would have cost at the time, I think like $20,000. So it's still like a decent amount, like, to be clear. But yeah, I don't really know. Like, it's kind of, it seems kind of up in the air as to what actually happened, if something even happened. It is definitely something to keep an eye on and maybe to put more pressure on the Monero team. But there could be a lot of different reasons why the funds are not accounted for. Like a lot of different reasons. And I wouldn't assume the worst necessarily. Because I mean, I just don't know. Like, this was like gathered up long before probably all of us were even in Monero. So I don't want people to think I'm like defending this. It's more like I just don't want to say something and have it be completely wrong because I just wasn't there. You see what I'm saying? And because I do have like an influence, I can't like come out and start accusing people of things unless I know for sure that something's wrong. And in this case, it could just be a miscommunication kind of thing. Basically, there are unaccounted funds. It says here, after completion of work in 2017, 1,000 XMR remained unused. On August 5th, 2020, 133 XMR was dispersed to VT Nerd for related work. The proposal was updated by De Bruyne with the following note. 133 XMR of the remaining milestone has been sent to VT Nerd for his work on the completed project. The remaining 867 will be delivered to the general fund. This indicates that as of 5 August 2020, someone still had access to the relevant FFS wallet, and per core statements, that individual was Fluffy Pony. The remaining 867 XMR was never transferred to the general fund. I don't know. So, like, apparently there wasn't, like, a lump sum of 867 sent over to the general fund. But I do like this being brought up, though, because it's like, yeah, what did happen to this wallet balance? Because I don't know. I can't give you an answer on this other than, like, I don't know. I would just stress not assuming the worst and accusing people of being scammers. Because this happened, this is from like a while ago, and it's kind of hard to keep track of it. For all we know, it could have been given to the general fund in like smaller increments. I mean, I don't know. So I would just stress that, but yeah, keep bringing it up. Eventually someone will respond, I guess. And lastly, we got a donation from Be Happy Sir, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you. And they say, itty bitty baby, itty bitty boat, I don't believe it, Habib it. The fuck does that mean? Is this some like riddle? Is this some like obscure Zoomer meme that I'm just being fucking made fun of right now? What the fuck does that mean? I swear, I think this guy, he just gets like absolutely zooted every week. And then he's like, oh, time to donate to Anti-Moon Boy. Gonna have Xenu read this off. He's all coked out. Well, anyway, thank you for the donation. I appreciate it. And that's the episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. XMRChat.com/Xenu if you'd like to donate. And hey, if you're still listening right now and you haven't subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button. Okay, I want to get to 2,000 by the end of the year. But I appreciate all the support, guys. I'm going to head out. Have a good one.